Welcome to the Drive Phase Podcast, the best podcast for information on issues surrounding sports business in the Caribbean. On the Drive Phase, we have discussions with sports administrators, coaches, athletes, and various stakeholders in the sporting industry and examine their contribution to sports and entrepreneurship. Here's your host, Dalton Myers.
In 2016, Jamaica, the sprinting capital of the world, showed how diverse our talent is when Tony and Williams announced her presence on the world stage as Jamaica's first gymnast to represent us at an Olympic Games. And she did this at the Rio Olympics. In this episode, we continue our series to celebrate great Olympian moments. Along with her Olympic appearance, Tony Ann is also four-time World Championship competitor and Pan Am Games competitor. She has been around the place. Tony Ann, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Listen, let's start there. We're going to go straight to Rio 2016. Uh-huh. And what was the feeling like when you qualified? That's the first one.
Yeah, that was cool. I was in my second year of college. So I was competing in Rio for the test event, the qualifier. At the same time, my collegiate team was competing at the NCAA championships, which was the biggest event for college. So there was so much emotions for me going on there. And finding out I qualified, I was like, this literally can't be real. Like, this is a joke, right? But it was so exciting. And the first thing I did was I looked up at my mom and she's like, I guess you did it. But it was really exciting knowing that all my hard work and sacrifice, you know, had finally come together at that moment. And, you know, it meant a lot, not just for me, but for the entire country of Jamaica, you know, just seeing all that hard work and pushing to get gymnastics going in the country and just seeing that come together was really cool.
Amazing. You spoke about your mom just now. How influential has the family been in terms of just you taking up the sport and participating over the years?
Yeah, no, they were super, super influential. My mom is one of those, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Dance Moms.
Yes.
In the U.S. My mom is a gym mom. Like, she's like Abby Lee Miller, but like in like a nicer version. But she's super involved. When she first put me in the sport, though, she had no idea what she was doing, of course, because she's been, you know, surrounded by track and, uh-huh, and football her whole life. So she didn't know I had to go train every single day in gymnastics. Like, she was like, you can go once a month. And I was like, no, that's not how it works. You got to train every single day. And, you know, eventually she was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And she kept pushing me to, you know, keep going in it and keep going into it. And, you know, going in the, you know, US route and being successful that way. My mom is like, why don't, you know, you could compete for Jamaica. Like, there's no gymnastics in Jamaica. Why don't you compete for Jamaica? Because, you know, I got invited to the ranch in the U.S. And my mom was like, I'm not really feeling the vibes here. And she was like, you could do more for your country, more for Jamaica, more for, you know, your family and a lot more people. You could do a lot more impact when you compete for Jamaica, you know. And I was like, that's a good idea. So ever since then, I was 15 when I made the decision and I never looked back.
Let me just ask you then, you said you were invited to the ranch. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
The resources in the U.S. is way more than what is in Jamaica.
Absolutely, yeah.
Why would you then choose Jamaica? I mean, you have explained some of it before, but yeah.
Yeah, you would think, oh, she's crazy, right? No, I, you know, going in, being in gymnastics, there's not a lot of young girls or boys that look like me. Right. You know what I mean? I didn't have a lot of black teammates. I probably could count, you know, actually, I don't think I had any growing up, but there weren't girls that looked like me, boys that looked like me. And being in that environment, I just felt like another person, just another gymnast going through. And I was like, how can I use gymnastics as a way to spread what I love about this sport and excel and be able to spread a message that you can use gymnastics to get to wherever you want to get to, whether it's college or Olympics or whatever you want to do with it, for little girls who don't necessarily have that opportunity, or little boys who didn't have that opportunity. And so because US had enough resources, like, they're good, they have enough resources. But competing for Jamaica, that I knew that I could make a difference that way. And honestly, going to the Olympics, I never anticipated. I've always just wanted to make a difference, wanted to get gymnastics started, wanted to pave a way for people to have an opportunity to go to college or do whatever they wanted to do. Like, just going to Olympics was cherry on top of the ice cream.
Well, so that cherry, so you made it to Rio, and that first day walking out, how did that feel for you, being, you know, it's an historic moment and you're just a legend in a way?
I wouldn't say legend, that might be overselling it, but it was okay, don't try and pump my ego. I see what you're doing, but it was amazing. It was incredible. And like, even on social media, seeing how supportive people were and just how encouraging everyone was, it was really exciting to be there, the first gymnast. And but at the same time, it kind of hit me like, I'm the only gymnast here, you know what I mean? Like, gymnastics and gymnasts in Jamaica have way more to offer just to send one gymnast to the Olympics. And it made me motivated to keep going and to expand the team. And, you know, like, hey guys, like, we can do this, like, and explore more options for Jamaica and gymnastics. And I don't have to be the only one there next time, you know?
Yeah. And how was the support there for you in terms of just the Jamaican contingent and other gymnasts?
Everyone was super cool. Everyone was like, gymnast? I've never seen a gymnast before. And everyone was super fascinated that I flipped around on a 4-inch piece of wood. And it was so, I was like, it's normal, guys. But everyone was so cool and so inviting. And they were just so interested to see gymnastics there and have more sports there to represent our country. And so everyone was super, super encouraging. And I really, really enjoyed the experience there and being in the village and being cool with everyone. And it was awesome. And like, the first time I competed for Jamaica at a world championships, everyone was like, oh my god, we've never seen Jamaica before at a world championship ever, like, oh my god, this is amazing. And like, people just love it, they love it, and they always throw up Usain Bolt, like, pointing. I'm like, that's okay. Sure. But it's all, it's universal. Everyone gets it. Everyone knows that, like, you know, politics, whatever aside, like, we're here for, you know, a sport, our country, where it everyone just comes together, and it's really awesome to see.
All right, tell me back a bit to your college experience, and what was that like for you?
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. Whatever. No, I went to University of California, Berkeley. I was born in Maryland. So it was across the country for me. And I was competing for Jamaica and competing collegiately at the same time. So it was crazy. You know, I would compete in the spring, train all summer, compete at Worlds in the fall, and then compete again. And so it was a lot of ups and downs. Definitely a lot of injuries on my part, I have to be honest. Being able to compete collegiately and actually have a lot of success in college and be able to compete for Jamaica just shows, it brings back my point that girls and boys that look like me can achieve anything. You can go to college, I have 2 degrees now in law and social welfare, and you can go to the Olympics. You can have, I'm not going to say have your cake and eat it too, but you can dream big.
Right.
And even if people put a barrier, say you can't do that, like, that, no, you can do anything you put your mind to.
You kind of mentioned the injuries. I wouldn't say that you were plagued with injury, because somehow I think gymnasts are plagued with injury. Like, you guys,
that's safe to say,
are always,
I won't be,
you know,
offended,
competing with quite a number of injuries, but you have been plagued with injuries.
How have you
managed to deal with that and, you know, still compete?
Yeah. So I've had, I think, 6 major injuries and 5 surgeries.
Wow.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. Those happened throughout college. So I was always competing and then being out for a year and then competing and then trying to get back into the gym, you know, every year or something's different. But I realized that having we always called it having a why, like a reason why we do everything, the reason why you get up in the morning, the reason why you do what you do. That was super important for me because I've always had to go back into the role of being an athlete or being a coach or being a mentor and just still having my why. My why was, again, I'm going to go back to this point, doing it for girls and boys who don't look like me, mm-hmm. doing it for a bigger purpose. And whether I'm coaching, whether I'm an athlete, something I can always do something to make people feel good or make them love gymnastics or making it a situation better. So whether I was crying on the floor from an injury, I always got up and was like, guys, it's not about me. It's about the team. Like, let's just keep going. You know what I mean? And so that definitely helped motivate me getting through and having a support system, having teammates, families, friends that are always behind my back. And they're supporting me, encouraging me, letting me know, like, you're a superstar. And I'm like, you sure? But it definitely helps.
So can I assume that you're done with these injuries now and no more surgeries and this is it? You're over that?
That's what I told myself 4 surgeries ago. So you really never know with gymnastics because it's such a hard sport on your body. And I think with everything going on right now, you just really never know with anything. You know, I could be walking down the street and get hit by a car and you know what I mean? You just have to really live in the moment and enjoy every moment that you have and just try not to think of negative stuff, which is hard because it's okay to have bad days, but yeah, just trying to enjoy the moment, be like, I'm grateful for where I'm at in my life and trying to, how can I get better instead of looking at the, why did this happen to me, to like, how can I learn from this and get better from it?
It's almost a year ago. I was in Lima, Peru for the Pan Am Games and you were making a return after another injury and another surgery. You know, take us back there. You're representing Jamaica again and this would be the first in a long while. You know, how did you feel and how did you manage those moments? Because I know even one or two routines you didn't attempt.
Yeah. So 6 months prior to being in Lima, Peru, I had torn my second Achilles tendon, which is a very big injury because without that, you just can't walk. And so that rehabilitation, the first time I did it, took me a year to get back. And so to be able to compete, whether it was to full capacity or whatever, 6 months after surgery is really hard to do. And like, not even just for me, but just like statistically, like looking at that injury, it's a really hard thing to do. So to get back in the gym and work my butt off to get to where I was in Peru was a huge, huge deal for me. And not only the physical aspect, but the mental aspect of it was really, really tough on me because the last time I had competed, I had torn my Achilles on TV in front of, you know, hundreds of people, thousands of people. And so my mind was like, oh my God, what if it happens again? Like you're going to embarrass yourself. You're going to hurt yourself. And I literally had to go back and like, no, like, you know how to compete, you know how to do this. And I really relied on my teammates and you were actually really great with me too. And even though I was so annoying, I know I was annoying, but you were really great and really encouraging.
No, you're pretty cool.
I mean, whatever. But you were really encouraging and just having like bright smiling faces to look at and be like, okay, this is not that bad. Like you have people who want to see you succeed and they don't think you're this bad person or you're terrible at your sport or they want to see you succeed. And so having that was really great for me and definitely got me through that, you know, getting back into gymnastics phase of my life again.
Yeah. And I think it's, I mean, just by looking on, I think that experience also helped to boost your confidence. Not necessarily that it was down, but you know, you get to compete again, you're with the girls, you're with the guys, you know, that I thought, you know, was great for you. And I was
thank you. Yeah, it was another comeback year for me. So I was satisfied whether I won, lost, or whatever, just getting back in there was great.
and that Pan Am Games, I wouldn't say a rising star per se, but Danusha really did well at the Pan Am Games. I'm struggling with positions here, but she did well. I'm going to stick with that at the games.
Yeah, that's a safe way to say it.
You know, how did that make you feel? It's certainly because she's a teammate for team events. Mm-hmm. And from that, you know, she has moved on to qualify for the Olympic Games, Tokyo 2020.
Mm-hmm. I thought I was so happy for her. We've known each other for quite some time. And to see that something that I had started when I was 15, to see other people to be able to get the opportunity to represent our country and pave a bigger path and start qualifying more people to Olympics and make more of a legacy for gymnastics in Jamaica was really satisfying to see. And I'm happy for anyone who's successful, especially in such a tough sport that we're in. And, you know, with a country that doesn't necessarily recognize gymnastics, you know, as much as track. So I was really proud of her. And I was really, really happy that we actually had a team, you know, a team of guys and a team of girls. And we got the support that, you know, we've always wanted. And it was great to see it develop and seeing everything, you know, that I tried to start, you know, that, well, I guess I did start, but that I started when I was 15, kind of manifest and grow to where it was.
Talk to me about the team. It's a, I wouldn't say it's a close team, but a smaller you guys who travel internationally to compete for Jamaica. And there's several reasons for that. So some of it is finances and otherwise. What's the camaraderie amongst you guys, both the males and females in the group?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, half of us live in the U.S., half of us live in England, other, you know, some of us live in Jamaica, and I don't know what it is, but we're just like, I've never been so close to a group of people. Like, we know everything about each other. Like, we'll be in situations and someone does something and we'll look at each other and we'll all like know exactly what's going on. And I don't know how we got so close. And I think maybe just the love of gymnastics and the love of doing it for our country kind of brought us really close. And we've had so many talks about like our dreams and aspirations and just being really honest with each other. And I don't know how it happened, but we're really close. We're a really close family.
Wow. I was talking to you off air about, you know, qualifications for the next Olympics. There's still another opportunity. Mm-hmm. What are your goals? Is it that you really want to get to the next Olympics? And, you know, are you thinking about retiring?
For me, the goal was to finish my gymnastics career on a high note instead of, you know, in my injury. But currently with everything going on with the virus and a lot of things going on, especially in the United States, you know, we don't know. There's a lot of things up in the air. We don't know what the next qualifier is. We don't know, you know, the feasibility of an Olympics or like what that is going to look like, you know, when it does happen. But during this, it definitely helped me see a big picture. Like there's more to, than, you know, more than this, you know, we have a huge public health concern and like there's more people at stake, you know, there's a bigger picture, and that during this time really helped me see that and maybe think like, okay, if gymnastics ends today, I'll be okay, because I know it's for, you know, for the best decision for everybody, you know, I'm looking out for everybody. And you know, if the Olympics or whatever gets canceled, it's like I get it, I understand, and I can't be mad. But right now I'm still training, you know, lightly, still trying to, you know, stay in shape just in case, you know, we get called back and we get, you know, a meet schedule, you know. So yeah, that's kind of, everyone's up in the air right now, so it's really hard.
Well, I'm rooting for you. I'm hoping that you will be going to the next Olympics, and if not the next World Championship, you will be doing, you know, your personal best, your best, whatever that is.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for you on that.
I appreciate that.
Let me just draw a little bit of focus now to Jamaica and competing for Jamaica. I wanted to get a sense of that. Mm-hmm. You live in the US. How do you remain, you know, rooted in Jamaican culture? How do you keep that feeling? Independence is coming up. It's right around the corner, depending on when this is aired.
Yeah.
You know, how do you keep that going?
Yeah, going back to my family, you've met my mom. She is Jamaican through and through.
I love your mom. I love your mom. Your mom is awesome. She's awesome.
She's a hurricane, I do have to say. She's great, though. But both my parents, they're still very Jamaican. Like, my mom, she'll have, like, she can switch between her American and Jamaican accent, but my dad doesn't even try. He's like, if you don't understand me, get over it. But they really keep our household very Jamaican, very deep in our culture. And my parents have a Jamaican grocery store as well. So I always pop in, you know, try and help out and, you know, see their customers, see the community, you know, people, the Jamaican community that's here in Maryland, and still be able to talk and, you know, get to know everyone here. So it's really great because it's like,
yeah,
I get to be here, but like, you know, when I go out in the world, I'm like this American, I guess, but when I come home, it's like only Jamaican. I love it.
Do you have any kind of hopes of doing stuff in Jamaica, whether it's outreach project or, mm-hmm. you know, just working with girls and boys, you know, some of the kids here who are trying to get that dream of going to the Olympics?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love coming down to Jamaica. I remember when I was 15, me and my sister did a couple leotard drives where we collected leotards from gyms all over the country and gave them away, because some kids didn't even have the proper attire to train in. And I was like, okay, that we can take care of that, because there are so many people who have so much in the U.S. that we can give back. And I love going down and working with the kids, and they're so receptive. They're like so respectful, and they're so receptive, and they're very talented. It's just unfortunate that the resources aren't where they need to be for them to, you know, really, really thrive. So I love to go back to Jamaica, and as soon as everything clears up, don't know when that's going to be, but I hope to go back and work with the kids, and, you know, we'll get into the gym with them and, you know, see what they've been working on during quarantine and everything. So, yeah.
Awesome. You mentioned your sister just now. Tell us a little bit about her, that relationship between you two.
Yay. So my little sister, she's my best friend. She is. We're about 3.5 years apart. She competed for Jamaica in the 2015 World Championships. Yeah. She competed with us. So that was like the first time. It was me, Janusha, and Maya. Mm-hmm. Her name's Maya. We competed, you know, all together. That was the first time we really had a team, I think, for gymnastics. And she's super involved. She loves it. She currently goes to Arizona State. You know, she's finishing up college. She's majoring like in biomedical. She wants to be a doctor. So let her do her thing. Go down to Jamaica, treat some patients.
that would be good.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move a little bit more to coaching. So you are doing some coaching at United Gymnastics and Townsend University. How is mm-hmm. that experience? And is this something that you're considering to continue in the future?
Yeah. When I got injured, my last injury, I kind of had to switch from an athlete to more of a mentor for my teammates. So I found myself kind of like coaching them through, like especially freshmen, you know, coaching them through what it's like to get through season and like how to, you know, just even survive being a college athlete. And I was like, I could really just do this for other people, because I really loved it. I really loved seeing people, like I love seeing, giving them a correction and seeing it click, like, oh my God, that makes sense. So coming back to Maryland, I started coaching at Towson, and I started coaching at my club gym, and it's been really great. Like, you know, people listen to me, like I gave a correction and someone's like, yeah, that makes sense. And I'm like, it does. Okay, go with it. But it's interesting for me to try and understand other people the way they do gymnastics, because it's different from the way I do gymnastics, because sometimes I'll do a skill. I'm like, okay, I got it. That's fine. But other people, you kind of have to explain differently. So it's really interesting for me to switch roles and understand different ways to give technique and give instruction. It's learning for me.
So I'm going to ask you about your best and worst moments competing for Jamaica or internationally. So let's start out with your best moment, probably top two,
qualifying in the Olympics and actually competing in the Olympics.
That was too easy.
For Jamaica, yes. Yeah. But no, that was great.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah.
Talk to us now about, you know, the probably your worst moments.
My worst moment. Okay, my worst moment was my first international competition for Jamaica ever. Was in Tokyo 2011. I think I was like 15 or 16. And in competition, I was on bars competing, and I had slipped off the bar, and I looked down at my hands, and I had this big, like, bubble blood blister on my hand. okay, let's keep going. So I get back in the bar and I do my other skill and something just happens. And I was like, oh man. So I get off the bar and my half of my hand, like the skin is flapped over and blood is just pouring down my hand. And I've never ripped like that in my entire, like half of my hand was like hanging in the air. Like, oh my God, what do I do? My coach was like, there's nothing really you can do. So I wasn't able to finish my routine. I was able to finish the competition, but that was really devastating for me, being my first international competition for Jamaica. I was young and I think I had pink eye that meet. It was just, it was a mess. It was a mess. But after that, that's where I kind of was like, okay, that was rock bottom. Hopefully it won't get worse from there. Jinx myself, but.
Is there another one though that you put not as high, but certainly as one of those moments that you know, not a good moment, but you learn from it?
I would say that another moment that I learned wasn't for Jamaica, but when I had my last injury, when I tore my Achilles for the second time, I was devastated because that was the second time I competed, you know, tore my Achilles, and it was my senior year, my fifth year actually, and I was like, man, this sucks. Like, I'm supposed to go to Pan Americans, like I'm supposed to compete at Worlds, like I have all these things I need to do. And I was upset, my teammates are crying, and it was just like this sad moment. And I was like, no, we're not gonna be sad. This is my last year. I'm not gonna, just because I got injured doesn't mean I'm not gonna enjoy this moment, not gonna enjoy the sport of gymnastics. I'm not gonna let this injury take this moment away from me. So I got my little crutches crushed out. I was like, let's go team, we have a meet to win, so let's keep going, we have things to do. And so that was the worst and best moment for me, because I kind of was able to switch my attitude instead of like a why me to how can I learn from this.
You have one of those bubbly personalities, like you're always
me?
Yeah,
you think
probably,
so?
You probably smile more than I do also.
That is impossible.
What is that driving force behind Tony and Williams that keeps her bubbly throughout, you know, the injuries, the disappointments, and keep going?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think growing up, like just trying to find a silver lining in things, because not everything's going to go your way. And trust me, I can be down on myself. Like you can ask my teammates, like I can have days where I'm not feeling my best, and sometimes I don't smile, and that's okay to have those days, because when you have good days, they feel really good, because you're like, okay, I was in a bad spot, but now I'm grateful for this, and I can keep going. And growing up, my mom has always taught me to be a really strong, she's a very strong woman herself, as you know, and she's always taught me to be a strong woman myself, and not necessarily trying to fight with the girl next to me, but how can I create a table big enough so all of us can pull up a chair to the table so we can all make change? How can we break the glass ceiling? How can we make a difference all together instead of trying to compete with everybody, which is gymnastics. Like, we've always been taught to compete with each other. And, you know, in school, we compete with each other, but it's like, we don't have to do this alone. We can do it with other people. We can bring people with us. And that kind of brings the burden off of me a little bit. I'm like, okay, I don't have to do this all alone. I have people who are like, will do this with me. And that kind of makes me really happy. Like, we can do this all together. It's going to be fun. But that's kind of how I see it. You know, trust me, I have my bad days, but I try and be charismatic.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. What advice would you give to young gymnasts who, you know, probably in Jamaica, wherever they are, who wants to compete, probably at the highest level is their intention. What advice would you have for them?
Yeah, I would say to them, don't give up. Like, do not give up. And something I would tell myself too, if I was young, is that it never gets easier. Nothing ever gets easier. You just get really good at dealing with it and how to adapt and how to deal with change and how to deal with, you know, a roadblock. And being able to be adaptable like that is going to be so important, because not everything's going to go your way, obviously, but being able to evolve and adapt and just know that you can get through anything, you just have to keep at it, is something that I would have loved to hear when I was younger. And I think that's advice I would give young kids. Yeah.
Amazing. One of the other things I thought I would get your advice on, or your comments on it, as you know, there's a huge Black Lives Matter kind of campaign going on. which is important for persons who look like you and I. It's important for the world anyway. Gymnastics is certainly one of those sports that didn't have and still doesn't have a lot of persons that look like you, Gabby, correct, Simone Biles, Danusha, mm-hmm, etc. How are you helping to make that kind of a difference? And what are your comments about the sport in general and how it's evolving?
Yeah. So how I feel like I'm helping, I know social media is a great way to kind of give information and be vocal and talk about it. But for me, I never felt that social media was always the best way for me to necessarily help. I always felt like taking a step back and like, what can I do to actually, you know, really make change? So I've participated in certain, you know, WCGA has started a diversity inclusion group, which is the Women's Collegiate Gymnastics Association. They never had one before. And I was like, that is kind of ridiculous. And so I'm starting trying to join initiatives, sign petitions, like educate, start reading and just talking to family and friends. And how can we bring more awareness and understand that this is a very real issue for a lot of people? And, you know, I've had a lot of people call me and it's like, oh my gosh, like, is it really that bad? Yeah, it is. It is that bad. And in terms of gymnasts and, you know, gymnastics not really seeing diversity, I think it's trying to get better, but I think there's still a lot of stigma. Like, I've heard comments saying, well, of course Simone's good, she's Black. I'm like, no, she works really hard. She's talented, yes, but she works her butt off. And I feel like people just say, oh, Black people, they just have a natural, like, no, cut that. She worked hard. Don't ever cut her short. And I think just understanding microaggressions and little things like that build up, and they build stigma in the sport. So just understanding stigma, where that comes from, just educating people is so important right now. Because a lot of people are like, oh, I had no idea. I'm like, no, you could have done research. You could have.
The other question that I wanted to ask, you know, I've watched Athlete A in parts because I couldn't watch it all at once. I had to take it in parts. I've done a lot of research, reading. I've done some articles on safeguarding children in sport. Is this something of a concern for you over the years regarding abuse in sports, certainly for kids in sports, in gymnastics, I'm talking about? And what comment do you have, certainly on the, not just on the Netflix, but just everything that has been happening?
Yeah, absolutely. So before college, really, before I got to college, I really thought it was normal. You know what I mean? Like being weighed or being told you're fat and being, you know, having girls weigh themselves and throw up afterwards. And just like all of that, I just thought it was part. I was like, this has to be part of it if you want to be the best. And going into college and really realizing like, oh my God, it does not have to be like that. It shouldn't be like that. That is unacceptable for people to even allow a culture for that to get normal, for me to think that, oh, this is just how it has to be. And I'm absolutely so happy that people are speaking up and now realizing like, no, this isn't right and we shouldn't have to be subjugated to this. I think now, since everything that's happening in the US and everything coming out, people are starting to realize that it's okay, like, to have a voice, it's okay to speak out. And I think it's now becoming more widespread, you know, in other countries as well. And I think people should keep going. I think people should keep talking out, keep speaking out, let their voice be heard. And I think we should just be supportive of everyone who's been a victim, a survivor. And I think right now it's like everything is super hot and heavy and with racism and abuse and everything going on right now. I think this is such a good time for reconstruction of so many systems and so many institutions. So I think right on, ladies and gentlemen, keep going with it.
Great. Probably about another two questions. What advice would you have for Danusha? Obviously, she's not a kid,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And she's been competing for a while, mm-hmm, but she hasn't been to the Olympics like to
correct
just
yeah
yet.
Yeah.
So what advice would you have for her that you want me to pass on to her?
Yeah, I think she's holding it down with the gymnastics. I think she should just, you know, get as many pictures as she can. Like, I always felt, I was like, man, am I being a tourist? Like, you know, taking all these, no, get as many pictures as you can. And just really enjoy the moment. You know, at the end of the day, it'll be another gymnastics meet. And that's something we're used to. But this is such a unique experience. Like, don't get caught up in the, oh, my God, like, I'm at the Olympics. Like, I'm nervous. But don't do that. Enjoy the experience. It's once in a lifetime, honestly. So I think she'll be great.
Amazing. Will you ever think of coaching in Jamaica at any point?
Yeah.
Do you think one day you'll get out here and you'll, like, you know, do some sessions?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to do that. You know, I just have to have the time and not being quarantined. You know, be able to leave the country.
What's next for Tony?
Oh, gosh. That's what Tony's asking Tony right now. But currently, I'm training a little bit, getting into coaching, which I'm starting to really, really enjoy. You know, I work full-time at my, you know, Alpha Factor leotard company that I love. I loved seeing girls, you know, trying leotards. They're like, I look amazing. I'm like, you do, girl. I love it. And coaching is right now is like kind of where I'm at, and I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I love connecting with other girls and like having a common ground. Like, I understand what you've been through. So trust me when I say this. And I love it. That's kind of where I'm at right now. And because everything's so up in the air, no one really knows what's going to happen. So I'm just grateful for where I'm at and, you know, what the opportunities that I have now.
I didn't ask you, but how do you manage quarantine now, though? How do you manage, like, just staying inside?
In the beginning of it, everyone was home. Like, Maya was home. It was a mess. <We're> like, what? You know my mom. And so we would play Monopoly, and it got real competitive. It got really
competitive. Because of you.
Okay, I am fair. I am fair.
I think it's because of you. I'm going to ask Maya. I'm going to ask your mom.
You know what?
If I call
someone out, they're cheating. If they pass go and collected 200, but they didn't need to, I'm calling you out. That's how it is.
Listen, Tony. Listen, I appreciate you taking some time out to chat with me. It was great. Let me just wish you all the best.
I wish you all the best. Thank you so much for having me.
With everything. Say hi to your mom, say hi to dad, say hi to Maya.
And I will.
Hopefully I'll be seeing you at more major events for Jamaica.
Me too.
Thank you, Tony. You can follow Tony, and she's on Twitter. She's also on Instagram. On Twitter, she's at _ Tony Williams, another _. That's on Twitter. And Instagram, she's Tony _Williams. So you can follow her there. She's an amazing person.
I think my Instagram is Tonyann_Williams.
Well,
sorry.
No, that's fine. It's yours.
Sorry. I think my mom started a fan account, so that might be that one.
Oh, man. All right. So you have it there. We'll also put it in the show notes. So on behalf of producer Rashika Grant and editor Marsha Boyce, Marsha's been doing a great job, certainly now. She's been also advisor for the program. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Drive Phase podcast. Remember to check out our website. It is thedrivephase.com. Also, you can send us an email, thedrivephase@gmail.com. We're on all of your podcast platforms. You can check us out there, and you can follow Tony in terms of what she's doing in her life. All right, guys, until next time. See you then.